Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. Okay, this is a conversation about procrastination. So what this is I collected a ton of information, talked about this with my groups for quite some time, because procrastination seemed like a pretty significant thing that a lot of guys dealt with. So I just collected a whole bunch of stuff and put my thoughts together. And this is my thoughts. So hopefully this will really help you process through procrastination. And here's a warning up front. I'll be using some very salty language. Just seems like when we talk about procrastination, a lot of stuff comes up. So consider yourself warned. If you're listening to this with someone with sensitive ears, I'd say stop this right now and find something else to listen to. So procrastination seems to be a very common issue for most men. And here's my shot at understanding it and giving some guidance to break free from its influence. Procrastination has been an issue for me in my life, but not so much anymore. Good thing. The reason I'm doing this talk is because there are tons of men in my groups who wrestle with this on a daily basis and seem to be so stuck in a lot of areas of life because of procrastination. So I want to throw in my two cents so we can have an ongoing conversation to get as many men unstuck as possible. So here goes. Start some things off. Here's a few things I've heard about procrastination. Many of you have read Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now. It's a great book to read. He wrote it in 1997. He has yet to finish his next book, The Power of Later. I thought that was funny. So here's one of the jokes my youngest son would say. He would say, "Dad, as we all know, procrastinators are the leaders of tomorrow." And finally, here's another one that one of the guys in the group said. He said, "God gives us tasks to do while we're alive. I'm so far behind, I will never die." So, what is procrastination? The definition of procrastination is simply delaying or postponing something to do or to accomplish later. The Latin pro means forward, and crass means tomorrow. Crastiness means belonging to tomorrow. So procrastination means literally to defer till the morning. That makes a lot of sense, but it just shows that procrastination has been around a while, for since an ancient language like Latin actually has a word for it. It's a thing that's been around the block a few times. Plato and Socrates probably procrastinated, even though they weren't Latin. Why is procrastination part of the lives of tons of people? There are as many reasons people procrastinate as there are procrastinators. It seems that every person has their own reasons to delay something for later. That's what makes it have such a hard time getting a handle on procrastination. It seems to be a problem for many people, and therefore many people talk and write about it. If you read and listen to anyone about this topic, what they say may or may not fit with how you or why you postpone things for later. The classic context for this is the start of the college semester, when you get the syllabus. We all remember syllabus shock. A group of eager beavers get out their planners and they organize each week so that they get what needs to be done in a timely manner. You know how they use Excel spreadsheets with color codes, daily schedules divided into 15-minute increments, and they have all their papers done 2.5 weeks before the deadline. The procrastinators mock these kinds of people. "You're all a bunch of freaks who don't ever have any fun. Lighten up and enjoy life a little bit. Don't be so uptight." The procrastinators, on the other hand, will wait and wait and wait until some unseen hand shoots the starting gun when there's only 24 hours left before the 20-page paper needs to be posted. Go, and they get it done, usually, but sometimes not so well. But usually it is good enough to get a passing grade. That's all that matters. Many get through college just fine because they actually have great brains to begin with. But after a while, there becomes a track record of broken stuff and tough consequences because waiting until the last minute doesn't really work. Consequences like too much stress, unreliable in relationships or at work, and a lost ability to manage simple aspects of life like home or car maintenance, personal health care, or planning for vacations or birthdays. This is where it becomes a problem. I might have gotten through college, but procrastination does not serve one well in life, in real life. So why do some people get caught in procrastination? Is it personality? An Enneagram type? A sickness? A strength? Let's look at it a little bit deeper. Here's a list of reasons that procrastination exists. It's a really long list. Some are similar, so I've tried to group them up, but as you read them, checkmark the ones that feel like they're yours. So number one, distraction to things that are easy or fun instead of things that are more difficult. You know how that works. Squirrel, that's distraction. Number two, you like immediate rewards versus future rewards. Number three, you're more present focused than future focused. Number four, it's how you think about time. Today is here and is not really that valuable. It will come and go quickly. A year is a long time to get something done, so I have plenty of time to do things. Number five, you like instant gratification rather than the whole delayed gratification thing. Number six, you have a fear of being seen as a poser if you get it done. Did you do it right? And it's the fear of not getting it right. Fear of choosing the wrong thing, so you avoid making a decision you can't choose well. Eight, fear of imperfection, worried about what other people think. Number nine, I'm just scared to do it or intimidated for whatever reason. I don't want to be seen as incompetent. Number 10, the fear of having to deal with whatever it feels like to have something finished. What now? Number 11, Stephen Pressfield says that we will do something when the pain of not doing something is greater than the pain of doing it. Or in the same vein, here's a quote from the Gentleman's Rulebook. You will either experience the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The choice is yours. Is pain the discomfort for the reason? Number 12, you don't think you deserve success, so procrastinating is a self-sabotage move. Number 13, you are not motivated by external drivers. Like when my wife, my boss, a teacher, parents are telling you what to do. Even if that's what you might want to do, you react by not doing it. Number 14, you tell yourself that you thrive in stress, so waiting till the last minute motivates you. Your demanding boss or your deadline drives you to the finish. You believe the story that you're just lazy. That's 15. Number 16, you think that you will be exposed as incompetent. If you try to get it done, you will be judged. So why even try? You can't be judged if you don't try it. Number 17, you overthink everything. You get frozen with analysis paralysis. Your head gets spinning and wound up. Number 18, you have an all or nothing way of looking at things. So either you are all in to crank it out, or you do other things that are seemingly useless. Number 19, you must keep your options open. FOMO, fear of missing out, is a real thing. And if you get caught up doing something that you really want, that you don't want to do, you'll miss something that's fun and exciting that you do want to do. Number 20. Sometimes you're just willing to burn down the house like you don't give a fuck and you're willing to throw it all away. 21. If something challenges your identity, you hesitate. Will I look okay? What will others think? If I don't do it, I can't be judged, right? Number 22. Small steps over time kill you since you don't see the progress that you want. You need to see progress now. Number 23. You feel overwhelmed, powerless, or unmotivated, so you do something else that doesn't feel so bad. 24. You assume failure. If it won't be perfect, then I'm not going to do it. 25. You usually don't finish anything. You'll get to 95% and stop. This makes you look like you have no follow-through. So then you think, why would I even start? 26. It's an inertia problem. You just can't get started. When you do get started on something, or you get into the work of it, you do great. You do just fine. It's getting started that's the problem. So that's the list. So what's the reason that any of us procrastinate? Why do we delay things that we want to do? What is it that possesses us or to just not get things done? Is it that pain thing? Is it external reference? Is it external drivers? Is it a lack of inertia, the inability to prioritize? Is it a bunch of shoulds that others have given you? Or do you just suck? And why is it a problem? What would life look like if you never or rarely procrastinated? What will your life look like if you continue to allow procrastination to run the show? Take a moment to create a vision for your life with either one of those scenarios. First, what would your life look like if procrastination runs the show for the next 10 years? Where would you be personally, with health, fitness, sleep, relationships? Where would you be with your career and your purpose in life? Does that vision of the look of the future look problematic or not? Second, what would your life look like if you were able to have the discipline where you decide and what you want runs the show for the next 10 years? Where would you be personally with health, fitness, and sleep and your relationships and then your career and purpose in life? What does that look like? How is that different if you were able to run the show? You know this. You really don't have to go through that exercise of looking into the future. You see it, but even a glimpse of the future, nothing ever changes. That's how procrastination works. But it does matter. I'm sure you're tired of procrastination running the show, and you have caught a glimpse of where procrastination life is going, and it doesn't look good. You know you will not be the man you want to be. You're not going to have the relationships that you want or the career that you want. Throughout your life, you have tried all the tips and tricks, all the life hacks that people use to beat this thing. What have you seen or read? There's the 5-4-3-2-1 go stuff. There's the eat your frog stuff. The panic monsters and gratification monkeys stuff. There's the OODA loop. The 7 habits. The unfuck your habits. The you can't steer a parked car idea. The urgent versus important grid. Of way of trying to find your priorities. There's the challenge to face your fears and do it anyway. There's all kinds of things out there that try to explain the problem and to make paths to overcome our friend procrastination. Some of this stuff works with some people, but some of it doesn't. It's kind of hit and miss. Usually you try these things without any success. Procrastination still runs the show. So what the hell is going on? In reality, anything I say won't help either. You know you won't move forward with a life hack. Something deeper is at play. To really change for the long haul, it has to do with deeper change from within, not from your behavior or from disciplining or willing yourself to do it. In the world of therapy or 12-step groups, how change happens is a very important consideration. A second order change is limited in a shallow type of change where you only change your behavior. You change what you do or how you act. It's best described as white knuckling it. This is where you just frenetically say to yourself, don't drink, don't drink, don't drink, or don't look at porn, don't look at porn, don't look at porn. You're just not doing the thing or disciplining yourself to do a thing. And all you do is just end up focusing on the thing that you don't want to do, which then results in just doing that thing. Most life hacks and helpful hints are just second order behavioral changes. First order change is what we are after. You're not so much worried about your behavior and not doing something, but you change something deeper within your core. Often this is a change in your belief system or in your identity. You change your view of yourself and switch from thinking that you suck to believing you're okay. And now you live with a stronger self-image, and then your behavior changes. First order change is what we are going for here. If you've been part of the Solid Man process, you'll notice that it's based on creating first order changes deeper within you on a very soul level. Most people do the white knuckling when it comes to try to resolve procrastination. Plan ahead, plan ahead, plan ahead, or get up early, get up early, get up early. After a bit of time, you still go back to the way that you've been your whole life. That's second order. And to resolve this, you have to get a little deeper into the first order stuff. Here's my take on what some of that deeper thing is. Hopefully, this will help. All right, so reality number one is procrastination has you by the nuts and it won't let go. The bastard is my name for the procrastinator. You'll give it your name too, regardless of what you name it. Right now, he has you by the short and curlies. You're not going anywhere. The bastard is not your friend, but he's been with you your whole life. How did this character get so much control over you? How is it that he's telling you what to do, and you just follow blindly? Here's how it started for most of us. You invited him along the journey when you were a kid. There was a reason at the time. It totally made sense. It was logical to bring him into your life to help you out. You needed to become an autonomous person. So, like all teens, you were reactionary. You were a reactionary kid who didn't want to do what everyone else was telling you to do. Parents, teachers, bosses, everyone is out there telling you what to do. Do this, do that. Why are you laying around? Hey, lazy bones, get up. You're burning daylight. Stop playing that video game and take out the trash. You've got 5 assignments to do, so get on it. Why are you just sitting there? You'll never amount to anything. They say, be efficient, be effective, get it done, do this, do that. There's nagging here and shaming there. Listen to all of that. Of course, any reasonable kid would push back. It's a normal part of life to push back because at the time you were building autonomy and independence in your life. You were creating your personal freedom. You were building agency and personal responsibility. That's all normal stuff at that time in life. But many of us got stuck in the process. Now, today, we need to finish the process of building your autonomy. It's kind of like you're only partially cooked or partially developed. To beat procrastination, we need to build our autonomy and personal power and move into the process of completing your personal growth. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to know, how that fits with you today as an adult. Our freedom at that time of life is a reactionary freedom, not real freedom. Reactionary freedom says, I'm not going to do what so-and-so is telling me to do. Or they want me to be a certain way, so I will do the opposite. It feels like freedom, but it's not. The other person is still in control. What that person wants you to do may even be something you really want to do, but you do the opposite in reaction. Here is where we invited procrastination to guide us through these rough waters. Remember how this was an insane time? Your pubes were growing, your dick grew, semen started to squirt out, testosterone started to flow. You remember what that was like. Girls became a thing. You were just trying to figure all this crazy stuff out. And crazy it was. and everyone was telling you what they wanted you to do. So we welcomed our good friend, the procrastinator, into our life to help us out. What we thought was freedom was just reactionary freedom. We weren't really doing what we wanted to do. We were just not doing what everyone else wanted us to do. That's teenage freedom. Immature freedom. Very limiting freedom. It's boy freedom. It got us through. Sure, it made Mom frustrated and Dad fired up at times, but we made it through with the sense that we had some control. They weren't going to tell me what to do. And the procrastinator was the man for the job. He would say, just hold it off for later. Let them feel a little bit of your power. When they got mad, you had some control in a life that usually didn't have much control or power. At that time, you procrastinated, so they knew that you had some power. Procrastination served that teenager well. But now, you are a grown adult, and you're still living with reactionary freedom. This kind of freedom did give you something important as a kid, but now as an adult, it has you in bondage. You are not free. You are not doing what you want. You're doing what the bastard wants, as if you're still a teenager. You're still a boy. You're still reactive. The procrastinator is not your advocate. You know this now. Now is the time to trade out the reactive teenage immature freedom for mature, internally referenced freedom. Rather than not doing what others want, start doing what you want. Mature freedom is internally referenced and not externally referenced by what everyone else expects. Mature freedom is developed by knowing what you want and then choosing to do that every moment of your life. Let me say that again. This is really an important part of it. Mature freedom is developed by knowing what you want and then choosing to do that every moment of your life. As an adult, your power and control is developed from an internal drive, from your internal identity, and from your intention. You have power and control inside of you. As an autonomous being, you have responsibility and agency. You're no longer just a teenager trying to eke out a little feeling of control here and there by pissing Mom off. You have your power within. It's already in you. Another way to put this is asking if you are a renter or an owner. You know the old saying, beat it like a rented mule. You know how you push a rented car a little harder than you would push your own car. And if you're renting a house, you really don't care about the landscape or the carpet as much as if you owned it. The renter doesn't really care. If you are an owner, you care. You want your car to last. And since the place is yours, you pull some weeds. When we are just renters, we don't own our lives. Think of that. We're just living as though we are renting this body, renting this life. We don't have ownership or responsibility. That's the problem. We've given the procrastinator the place of the owner. He's the slumlord. We don't really care if the lawn is cared for. It's not my job. Now that sounds like a teenager. You know how the slumlord talks to you. You've heard him talk to you your whole life. His voice is smooth, even slimy. Oh, trust me, I'll take care of you. I'll get you through this. Just relax. You don't have to do this. Just take a break. Or sometimes it's like you're hypnotized, or you just move to the thing the procrastinator moves you to. Kind of, these are not the droids you're looking for type of thing. You just do it without consciously thinking it out. Now, just being aware is a very huge step. Let's say it's Saturday morning. It's a great day. You actually want to get the lawn mowed or get your bike tire fixed and then go for a good ride. But you're just laying around. The procrastinator says, you really don't want to mow the lawn. Do that later. Let's see what's on YouTube. The day ends with a Netflix binge, irrelevant videos, some news, some junk food, and you didn't do what you wanted to do. The bastard won this time. So, how can I make a shift? How can I beat this son of a bitch? First, you have to rid yourself of reactionary, immature, externally referenced teenage freedom. Build mature freedom. Want, choose, move, do, act. Be intentional. Become the owner of your own life. This life is yours, no one else's. So choose how to do life like you want to do it. The first step here is just to understand that you've been living in reactive freedom. Someone else has been running your life. The big shift is to know that you can create true, mature freedom in your life, and from there, continually choose, decide, and move what you want to do. Second, this is a concept called externalizing it. So who is the procrastinator? In the English language, all you have to do is change the first letter in a word to the uppercase for it to become a name. So I want you to give it a name that means something to you. Giving it a name helps it make it into an entity. It's a being. It's something outside of you, which has been influencing you way too much. You may think it's something inside of you, which is kind of true, but for this exercise, make it something outside of you. Externalize it. Call it a name and give it characteristics, since it's a being and an entity that's been part of your life for some time now. Here's some names that other men have come up with. The Time Thief, The Liar, The Enemy, Aunt Mildred, The Troll, The Turd Polisher, Worm Tongue, Motherfucker, Son of a Bitch, Asshole, Told You We'd Cuss, Quicksand, Whiny Little Bitch, The Distractor, The Ball and Chain, Dickhead, Bully, Slick Willy, or it could be like a character in a movie or something, like The Dude, The Cat in the Hat, Gollum, Drop Dead Fred, or Woody Allen. So what name has meaning to you? And what character makes you just want you to kick its ass all the time? So I've said before, the name of my procrastinator is The Bastard. What's yours? And what are some of its characteristics? Here's some ideas. It's smooth, distracting, sneaky, calm, frantic, devious, pushy, nuanced, nice, demanding, convincing, quiet, loud, pissed, vindictive, revengeful, abusive, or friendly. What characteristics come up to you about how this thing moves, speaks, and how he is in your life? Mine, the bastard, is whiny, quiet, and very sneaky. He's shaming, he always tells me I suck, and he's vindictive at times, but mostly, he thinks I shouldn't disappoint him. What's yours characteristics? The procrastinator is that gentle voice convincing us to sit back and wait, that we have plenty of time to get it done, that there are so many other fun things to do. We think that voice is our friend, but he's not. He's the bastard, the liar, the slumlord, whatever you named it, he's not your friend. He's not on your side. He is limiting your life more than you ever realized. He's from a bygone day when you were trying to learn independence as a kid. Now, as an adult, he locks you out of getting what you want, going nowhere you want to go, and achieving the success that you want to, that you desire. He keeps you from being a responsible man. Oh, okay. You might think I'm being a little hard on this guy. You're right, I am roughing him up quite a bit. But let me take another angle, just for a moment. What if the procrastinator has been in your life to try to keep you safe, or to help you get through a really tough time in life? What if he is your friend, who's been with you through thick and thin, through some really tough things? Here I am calling him names and telling you to get rid of him, but he has seemed to be your really good sidekick along the way. And this is probably very true. He's been there to keep you safe. He has been there with you in tough times. He was your friend. He was there with you as a boy to help you get by. But now he is keeping you stuck. You are safe now, but you're stuck. The only way to move is to break free from needing his help. Because you know what? You don't need his help any longer. It's time to let him go. You are a man. So one of the things that guys will do is write him a letter. Dear bastard. And you remember the good times that you had, things that got you through life, and then let him know how you're letting him go and you're moving on. The one who lets the procrastinator win is still a boy, a victim, and someone who has not gained full agency, responsibility, or power in your life. Someone else is still running the show. Someone else is telling you what is important in your life. Someone else is driving the bus. You know what I'm talking about. How often have you wanted to get something done that you wanted to do, but were convinced by the procrastinator to do some other irrelevant thing? Hey, just surf the web for a bit. You know that old video game, let's give it a go. And so that makes you wonder, whose life am I living anyway? Let's ask that right now. If you were to consider someone else has been driving your life, who has it been? Is it your parents, your teachers, your friends, society, women? Who is it? Who comes to mind? So this is an important part of defeating procrastination. You must externalize it by naming it. Make it into an entity outside of you. Now you can actually talk back to it. You can engage in a good fight. So the second phase was to name it. The third phase, take back the driver's seat by having a continual conversation with it. How do you get true freedom in your life? You must reclaim the driver's seat. So imagine that you're tied up in the back seat. You're gagged with a dirty sock. You're trying to scream since you've felt powerless your whole life. All at once, the car stops. You realize that you're no longer tied up. You get the sock out of your mouth. You open the door and walk to the driver's side door. You open the door, grab the procrastinator by the lapels, and toss him out. He climbs into the back seat like the little weasel that he is. That's okay. It's okay that he's in the back seat. He's been there your whole life to keep you safe. Now he can just sit in the background. He may do something useful someday, but he's not going to drive the car. You're going to drive the car from here on out. So defeating procrastination is reclaiming your personal power and agency. So take the wheel and move how you want. Talk to him. Tell him to stay back there and be quiet. He has no more influence on you. So the third phase is to take back control. Like Spartan King Leonidas, kick that bastard down the pit. Fourth, create your own system. Up to this point, you've been living in everyone else's system. It's what your family wanted, what your school wanted, what your boss wants, what your woman wants. Most of us do not fit into these systems. They're not designed for you, how you do life. School would have you sit for 4 hours without a recess while listening to the teacher drone on, wah, 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 wah. Your parents would have you do what they wanted, when they wanted. Come on, Mom, really? Okay, so now it's time to break free from that boyish life, even though you might be 40, 50 years old. So this means creating your own system, a way of living that is yours, designed by you. Make your life become what fits your style, your values, your goals, your pace, your vision for your life. What do you want? How do you like to do things? Make your life become fully yours, not what other people expect. Breaking free from procrastination is your choice. Now, as an adult man, you have the power. You can move, act, do what your soul wants to do. Go hiking, do the resume, make the call, fix the plumbing under the sink, whatever it is. Do your life and make it a life of intention. You are free. No one else is telling you what to do. The procrastinator is powerless to a man of action. So, if you really want to sit all day on a beautiful Saturday and conquer a video game, then do it. If you want to surf the web for hours and not accomplish anything, then do that. Do what you want to do. But if you feel really shitty after a day of binging on TV shows, then you know that's probably not what you want to do. But if you want to do that, and vegging is what the doctor ordered, go for it. Do it with intention. It's okay to seek pleasurable experiences. It's okay to thrive like you want to thrive. Be intentional. If your boss or your professor or your wife would have you do something that you may or may not want to do, well, what do you do? Well, you need to make it a choice. Make it your choice. You have certain commitments to your work, to your wife, to your education. These things are yours. You've chosen them. Choose to do those things from your internal drive. You have chosen to do your work. Do it. You've chosen to pursue an education, so write the paper. You've chosen your woman, so have a conversation with her. Now choose to make things happen, not from them telling you to do it, but choose them from your internal drive. This is what I've chosen, so this is what I'm going to do. This is your life. Make it become what you want it to be. It may take 3 years. Just do it. Take your life back. Take the time it needs. It will take practice, so start with the humility of the beginner's mind, and you will find your path. Living life to the full and thriving also means embracing discomfort. You know that Stephen Pressfield quote was telling you that, let's see, you will do something when the pain of it is not, of the pain of not doing it was greater than the pain of doing it. Men of action don't wait for pain to come their way. They embrace it and make it happen. If you want results with anything, fitness, career, relationships, you must press into the discomfort of making shit happen because you want it, not because anyone else controls you. So make whatever it is happen the way you want it to go. Slow and easy? Great. Way ahead of schedule? Fine. Last minute under a deadline? Awesome. Just embrace your way of moving and action and do that. Live your life on purpose. So, create your system in your life that fits you and how you move. Finally, have self-compassion with no shame. Remember, shame says that you're a mistake, that something's wrong with you. Because of procrastination, most people feel like they're abnormal, like something's wrong with them. All I'm saying here is that you let the bastard run the show a little bit too long, longer than he should have. You don't suck. You just thought you had no control. You're okay. Nothing is wrong with you at all. You're normal. In reality, I think the highly organized people are the non-typicals. The procrastinators are more normal. Most people on the planet wrestle with getting things done. The abnormals have these extensive lists and colored tabs and multivariate Excel spreadsheets. Which is not a bad thing. That's just the way they roll. They're doing life like they do. Now, do life the way you do. In real life, you're the normie. It's all good. I'm kind of popping off about the normie thing. There's no science here. It's just anecdotal evidence. But procrastinators have spent their entire lives thinking something was wrong with them since they don't fit into many contexts of producing, efficiency, and expectation. Nothing's wrong with procrastinators. Or organizers. We all just roll the way we roll. This whole journey is about finding your internal way of being and moving, and then making that happen unapologetically. Okay, to wrap up this conversation, here's a quote from M. Scott Peck from his book, The Road Less Traveled. Quote, "Until you value yourself, you won't value your time. Until you value your time, you will not do anything with it," unquote. All it comes down to is giving value to yourself and your time, which is your ability to influence the universe like you want to, like you are designed to. You will never make the impact that you want by not valuing yourself or by letting the procrastinator win by being externally reactive. So let's kind of wrap this up. Here's what I'm saying. First, understand that the journey to defeat procrastination is about getting rid of reactive teenage freedom and building mature freedom as a man by knowing what you want and making that happen. Second, externalize it. Name the bastard. It's an entity and it's your enemy. Third, talk to it. Tell him to go to hell. Tell him to get in the back seat. Or just ignore him. Fourth, create your own system to live like you want to live. Just listen to your internal resources and choose what you want to do and do that how you want to. Fifth, give yourself a break. You're okay. You don't have to get it perfect. Just start to move unapologetically. So have a vision for your life. Make your life what you want it to be. Build mature freedom by choosing what you want, since nothing's wrong with you. Believe in yourself, value yourself, and make life happen like you want. This is your life. Be a man with agency and move like you want. It's your turn to do life. Kick the procrastinator in the teeth. As always, stay solid, my friends.